You are about to hear the podcast version of the Naked American Songbook with Julian Fleischer from WNYC. Due to copyright law, we can't provide all the music for on-demand listening. It sucks, we know. We're bummed out by it too, but you can still hear my conversation with Mo Rocca and get a taste of the music that he loves. Here we go. Greetings, Earthlings. We now live in what is often referred to as a sharing economy. You share me yours, I'll share you mine. But what if I don't want to see yours? And certainly what of the inverse? I guess we're still fine-tuning the way the market works when the coin of the realm is pictures of lunches and rants about traffic. So let me be clear. I want to share songs. I want to hear which ones you love, and in return, I'll play mine for you. And we'll get to know each other. How's that for a currency exchange? I'm Julian Fleischer, and this is the Naked American Songbook. Let's face it, just like Virginia, the songbook is for lovers. You don't have to be Nate Silver to know that at least 90% of all songs are love songs, even when they're about lost love. So what's a single guy to do? Where are those confirmed bachelor numbers that we can hum to ourselves while we're happily playing the field? We need a chapter of our own in the songbook that we can quickly reference while all those lovers are blithely cooing away their days. My guest this week is fellow stag Mo Rocca. Now, you will surely know Mo from CBS Sunday Morning, from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, The Daily Show, from his runaway hit on the cooking channel, My Grandmother's Ravioli. You may even know him from his recent appearance with Pope Francis. Mo is a very close friend of mine and frequent wingman, and he's brought several terrific anthems, any one of which could be the signature song in the singles lounge. So let me begin the beginning with perhaps my favorite song for single ladies, a little number from the fellows who brought you Put on a Happy Face, and all the songs from Annie. Stay with me now. Stay with me. This is what sharing is about. Staying with that vulnerable moment. You don't have to be in love to be exposed, but you gotta stay with it. This is the Naked American Songbook.
There are girls just ripe for some kissing, and I mean to kiss me a few. Oh, those girls don't know what they're missing. I've got a lot of living to do. And there's wine already for tasting, and there's Cadillacs all shiny and new. Gotta move, 'cause time is a wasting. There's such a lot of living to do. There's music to play, places to go, and people to see. Everything for you and me. Life's a ball if only you'd know it, and it's all waiting for you. You're alive, so come on and show it. There's such a lot of living to do.
Oh, I heart that track so hard. Song by Charles Strauss and Martin Sharnan. Chart by Marty Paich. Angular, propulsive, moving, clean, economical. Vocals by the peerless Sammy Davis Jr. does make me want to go on and show it. And when I want to show it, I often want a wingman. And when I want a wingman, I often call on my old and dear pal, the delightful Mo Rocca. Hi, Mo.
Hi, Julian.
Thank you for coming.
Now I'm excited about how you're introducing me, because it's so weird to be introduced by a close friend.
Well, how do you want to be introduced? Should we pretend we don't know each other?
No, I don't think that. It's interesting to me how you would characterize me in this sort of formal media setting.
Oh, my God. Now
that
I feel on the spot. What are you? You're a journalist? How do you describe yourself?
I prefer
yourself?
Some adjectives.
Go ahead.
Delightful.
I said delightful.
You did say that. Marvelous.
Okay, but that's redundant. Let's get a little more trenchant. Who is Mo Rocca?
Vulnerable.
Single.
Thanks.
Right. They go hand in hand.
Which song should we start with?
I know, really.
Which of the songs about being single?
I think By Myself. So, Mo, you brought some of your favorite tracks from the Great American Songbook. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to start with this one, which was made famous by the great Judy Garland. And interestingly, this was written by Arthur Schwartz and Howard Dietz.
Right. Schwartz and Dietz.
And Schwartz is the paterfamilias of our own dear leader,
right,
Jonathan Schwartz. So I'm glad you brought this in for a number of reasons. Tell me a little bit about why you love this tune.
Well, I love Judy Garland's performance of this song. Well, it's the kind of song that I love to walk down the street with, walk down an avenue specifically, and hopefully I won't get interrupted by a don't walk sign. Because at first, she's kind of melancholic about it. And then by the end, she's kind of defiant, you know, being single. And there's something that feels kind of strong. And it feels good to walk down, to stride down 7th Avenue when she's going, I'll face the unknown. I'll build a world of my own. Because what else can you do at that point?
That was delightful and marvelous. So let's sit back together, relax. You know, this is the Naked American Songbook, so feel free to peel off a layer if you're getting warm. And by the time we're done, we'll be down to our skivvies.
But you know what I mean? It feels like there are different ways to handle being single. And she's going through all the different stages of singleness.
In one song.
She's upset about it. She's wistful. She's philosophical. And then she's kind of defiant, even though she knows she's lying to herself when she says, you know, I'll build a world of my own. I'll be fine with this.
Well, and also she is Judy Garland. She has to deliver a last chorus at the top of her lungs and really, you know, sell it. And I remember seeing this the first time. I think I was in a bar somewhere. And they were playing it on the video screen, and she's in the red dress with a red curtain and mm-hmm. the spotlight, and it's just visually as dazzling as it is orally. Mm-hmm. Orally. So let's listen to Judy Garland singing Dietz and Schwartz, great classic, By Myself.
Love is only a dance. I'll try to apply myself and teach my heart how to sing. I'll go my way by myself, like a bird on the wing. I'll face the unknown. I'll build a world of my own. No one knows better than I myself. I'm by myself alone.
No one ever sounded so good lying to herself.
Except my mother on occasion. Is that the one that you know?
That's the one that I know. I know you're referring to one that was done live
for
on
I could
television.
Go on, no, I'm talking about from I Could Go On Singing.
Okay.
So this is a different version. I'm glad to
hear
it.
Yeah, this is no, this was
this a, is it, a little lighter, to be honest.
Okay.
That's okay.
So you want me to
do
go
you feel judged? Do you look like
a
you feel
little
judged?
Bit. I feel like you now want me to go and listen to the other version, which is good. I should go
I actually do,
that.
Do. And we're going to have a little of that. We do some cage matches here on the show where we compare different versions and we'll find out. Mm-hmm. Judy Garland, you practice Judaism from mm-hmm. time to time. Mm-hmm. And she was often called the greatest entertainer of all time.
I think so.
You do?
I think she was one of them. I think she was.
Who's the other?
Boy, that's a tough one.
No, it's not. It was Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes, it was Sammy Davis Jr.
Exactly.
Sammy Davis Jr. was tremendous and is still an undervalued stock. I think people remember the Goofy, the Impressions, yeah. and the Rat Pack
so
stuff.
So easy to mock.
It's so fantastic.
Oh, my Lord. Well, to prove your point, I have brought for you his version of I Got Plenty of Nuttin' from Porgy and Bess. He got to play Sport and Life in the movie.
Right.
He's one of those artists who, like Garland, when he got his hands on a tune, that was it. Mm-hmm. Done. It's sung. It stayed sung. You don't really need to sing it again. And this is not only my favorite rendition of this song, but one of my top three Sammy Davis Jr. recordings. I recommend Another Layer.
Great.
Shall we?
Let's listen to it.
Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got no car, got no mule, I got no misery. Folks with plenty of plenty, they got a lock on the door. Afraid somebody going to rob them while they're out making more.
Hot.
Damn, doesn't that just...
He knows how to swing.
I tell you, and over an orchestra of that size, that's the sound of money. That's a Hollywood recording, because only Hollywood can put together orchestras that big. Mm-hmm. And only he can really soar over it, with a possible exception, obviously, of Garland or Sinatra. You know, the operatic quality.
It's an operatic quality, right? And you can only imagine in a club setting what that would have been like, how bananas people would have gone. If only they had sung together. I don't think there's a recording of Judy Garland with Sammy Davis Jr.
Ooh.
I can't think of one.
I can't believe that's true. We'll have to look it up. Yeah. We have a young intern here at the Naked American Songbook, a young gal named Ellie, who I'm sure will have the answer to that question before you can say George
Before you can
Gershwin.
Say, who is Sammy Davis Jr.?
No. Do not underestimate this young lady.
That's a compliment on her youth.
She doesn't need it yet. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be marching down 6th Avenue doing...
The 6th Avenue moves up. You don't march down 6th Avenue.
You said down.
Down 7th Avenue.
Oh, down 7th. Okay, I'll be going up 6th Avenue doing that tune. And in the middle, we're going to...
That's why I always thought it was weird, because she says, we'll march up the avenue with the Easter parade. And I'm like, 5th Avenue moves down. You're going to get crushed.
That's very you, Mo Rocca. You're a real stickler for the details.
Well, I'm kind of a traffic nerd. I want to see – Bloomberg would never have allowed them to march up the avenue.
Never. But somewhere around Herald Square, you and I would meet up and we'd have to we'd shake hands.
Ugh, one of those annoying things that they turned into outdoor cafes. Sorry.
I don't mind an outdoor cafe.
I think it's okay. I don't love when they paint the cement green and then you're supposed to think, oh, this is really eco-friendly. It's green painted concrete.
I don't exactly know how to argue with your point. I agree with you. It doesn't really get under my craw so much. I'm just glad that, you know.
It's not like a number one issue with me. I think global warming's more important.
I mean, if it creates some awareness of some of the eco issues that we have to face.
Although I guess black concrete would be even hotter. It would warm the earth more quickly. At least if it's green, it doesn't absorb as much heat.
Oh, we have the answer. Ellie comes through.
Up the avenue, but there isn't any ice. We could ride on a bicycle, but we haven't got the ice.
So Judy Garland was on 2 episodes of the Sammy Davis Jr. Show. Mm-hmm. It seems impossible that they wouldn't have crossed paths that way.
Well, right. I mean, that's wonderful.
They were both at the height of their powers at just about the same time and singing similar material all the way. I think I see a little bit of a theme building up in the songs that we brought to play for each other. By Myself, I Got Plenty of Nothing, something about inner strength.
Well, I didn't select I Got Plenty of Nothing.
I did.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought you were a theme with mine.
No, those things we chose.
Okay. Oh, right. We did. Okay. Yes.
We're doing this together.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We're going through this together.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you're enjoying it as much as I am.
Yes.
And you brought another tune of a similar ilk, and this one's a ballad sung by, well, Barbara.
We've had many conversations about her. You know, it's hard to even
they're going to find that hard to believe.
No, I know. And I'm not even going to try to say something that hasn't been said before, because everything's been said that needs to be said.
Really? Because I'm planning to devote an entire show to her vibrato alone.
Okay. It's just Streisand's vibrato.
Early vibrato.
Pre-1980 vibrato.
Oh, way back here, like in the 60s and 70s. You know, that creamy flutter that she had. You know, the vibrato is everything for her.
Yeah. So hard as it may be to believe this, one summer when I was in Provincetown, I met another Streisand obsessive. And I actually can't remember his name. Really nice guy. He was writing for The Hollywood Reporter. And we started talking about Streisand. And he said, oh, I have a number of unreleased recordings and I can send them to you. All these things are available online at this point, as I found out when I sent you the link to this one. But he emailed them to me, and it was her singing Home from The Wiz that was supposed to be on Back to Broadway, or singing Make Our Garden Grow, the Bernstein tune, Leonard Bernstein.
Right.
It's a great tune, and she sang that at her last concert in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is a really fun one to imagine the setting of. It's I'll Get By, which I didn't know until recently was a standard that Billie Holiday had made famous. And I think I vaguely knew it because my father played the trumpet when I was growing up. Every day in the morning, he would spend a half an hour working on his embouchure and doing scales in the morning.
And this is why you give money to street musicians, I remember.
It is, exactly. It's why it's hard for me to pass a street musician and not give money. And then at night, he'd come home from work and he'd play it for an hour. And I'll Get By, I know, was one of the songs in the list that he would play on his trumpet. Mm. It sounded beautiful. But anyway, either this guy in P-Town or I read somewhere else told me that she sang it, I believe, in 1973 at a fundraiser for Daniel Ellsberg's defense when I guess he had to defend himself after the release of the Pentagon Papers. Mm-hmm. But the part that I can't remember if it's true or if I've just imagined is that she did it at someone's house, and I'm deciding that it's Carl Reiner.
Interesting.
And I've decided it's Carl Reiner probably because it would have made sense in Ellsberg fundraiser at Rob Reiner, but he's probably too young at that point.
What about Norman Lear?
Could have been Norman Lear. And
they look the same.
Yeah, and he probably was there. And I love those hats that he wears. And that people would call in. It seems so quaint now, but they would call in on a speakerphone and ask her to sing certain songs, and she would do it for a donation to the Ellsberg Defense Fund.
Are you kidding?
This is the story that I was told, and it is indeed true. It's verified that she was singing it live for paying customers or attendees at an Ellsberg.
So she might not even have known this was the song she was going to sing.
That's what's amazing. So I'm imagining like Lauren Bacall or Eli Wallach calling up and saying, Barbara, sing I'll Get By. And that's what's so remarkable about this recording.
It's like on a little Charlie's Angels speakerphone, Barbara.
Right, exactly, yes.
Your job today is to sing I'll Get By.
Yes, exactly.
And she nails it.
And she's just in...
Well, don't make me wait.
In my vision, she's leaning against like a grand piano. I don't know who's playing. that she used to bring, the donuts to her. Marvin Hamlish.
Yeah, yeah.
During rehearsals.
He can play anything,
girl.
Right.
Right, and he's playing, and there are all these people, and they're smoking, and her hair is piled up, and she looks great in a turtleneck, and she's just leaning against this piano, and this sound comes out. It's crazy.
I'll get by as long as I have you, though there be rain. May come to me, that's true, but what care I, say I'll get by as long as I
And that's Mr. and Mrs. Gregory Peck are applauding there. But the song, it's like one exhale. She just sort of inhales and then it just comes out. Isn't it an amazing recording?
It's crystalline and perfect. It's gorgeous. And in its simplicity, there's no repeats. There's no extra moments. She just delivers it in one big breath. And her pitch is also like strangely perfect, even more perfect than perfect. She just cleaves a path through the song.
I mean, this is crazy. This is so long ago. So you know that it hasn't been futzed with. How would you even futz with that?
It's unfutzable.
You know, to auto-tune it or whatever. There's no such thing.
It's a shame that this is not the Streisand we still get today.
It is a shame.
We probably shouldn't get in. Do it on here. But tell me.
That's the downside of psychoanalysis. It's too much of it. If you have too much of it, layer upon layer upon layer, and you can't get out of it.
You lose your sense of humor first, and then you start using too much reverb next, and it's just, it's a gateway drug to reverb.
That's very funny.
Better stop us there before we get struck by lightning or attacked by a mob of angry pitchfork-wielding Streisand fans. When we come back, we will take a full-on Proustian journey with my guest Mo Rocca as he recalls for us how, as a child, he first became a fan of the Great American Songbook. And we'll take a request from my favorite voicemail account, the Naked American Listener Line. That's 347-229-1343. I'm Julian Fleischer. This is the Naked American Songbook. If you're just getting on board this little Surrey with the fringe on top, you are listening to the Naked American Songbook. And today we are getting naked with journalist, humorist, actorist, and friend Mo Rocca. But before we hear more from him, it's time to hear a little more from you, our legions of rabid fans. Yes, it's time to open up the Naked American Listener Line and hear which songs you adore and what color briefs you're adoring them in.
My name's John. I'm calling from Chicago. That color would be blue. I'd love to hear Our Love Is Here to Stay. First time I heard it was on an album called In the Land of Hi-Fi by Dinah Washington. But I'd like to hear any recording of it. Thanks very much.
But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going. We're going a long, long way. In time, the Rockies may crumble. Gibraltar may tumble. They're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay.
John from Chicago in those blue briefs. Blue reflecting the mood of that extraordinary rendition of Our Love Is Here to Stay by the Brothers Gershwin, rendered inimitably by Dinah Washington in a session led by organist Jackie Davis called After Hours with Miss D. Now, that's not the version you requested, John, but I hope you like the one that we chose for you because it is sublime. It turns out that the radio, the telephone, and the crazy movies that we know were not just passing fancies, and now I would like you to use that phone and call 347-229-1343. Tell me what songs you love the most, what you're wearing while you're loving it, and I hope we can put you, your song, and your shorts on the show. Now, back to my guest, Mo Rocca, who's painting a poignant picture of how he first came across the Great American Songbook with a little help from his dad.
You know, until the end of his life, almost until the end of his life, something like Elvis was new, was sort of like, and maybe even... maybe at times a little bit racy. He just never, until, you know, rock music, unless it was the Beatles singing Michelle. Mm-hmm. Then other than that, it was, you know, he didn't say it was a lot of noise because he was a sophisticated guy. But my father, he just, it's hard to describe. It was all about this music and the movies that they were associated with. I never heard my father drop an F-bomb. He lived in a world which I loved. And I would go down in the basement where he would play songs like that every night for an hour, and he did it every single night. And he took up the trumpet in his 50s, and he was so dedicated to it.
Holy cow.
He played
cow.
Wherever he could, in Italian restaurants.
You mean the first time he put a trumpet to his lips?
He played it as a junior high schooler, and then he missed it. And my mother, when I was probably about 9 years old for that Christmas in 1978, gave him a trumpet, and then my father was just religious about it. So then I would go down in the basement with roller skates on and just like roller skate around while he played.
And it's a hell of a big basement.
It was actually not a big basement, but it did have like a support beam in the middle. And so that way I could skate into it and grab it and then spin around fast like I was doing a triple salchow.
Oh, my Lord, your poor
parents.
Or
would that be a toe loop?
I'm sure I have no idea.
A triple Lutz, we'll call it. But anyway, but those songs.
You're on a Proustian ride every time you listen to this
music.
Oh, sure.
And also, Streisand for us was a really wonderful point of understanding because my father loved Judy of the Decca years.
Uh-huh.
And of the Capitol years, it was too painful for him to listen to. My father walked out of the movie Frances because when she gets the lobotomy, it was just too painful for him to watch.
I'm still recovering from having seen it. Nobody does Dead Behind the Eyes like that lady.
Right. It's true.
It's bizarre.
Right. And she's actually dead in All That Jazz, but she's got a lot more going on behind the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I remember my father when I was watching Streisand. I was watching on a clear day. And the credit roll at the end is her when she reprises on a clear day and she goes crazy. And my father walked up. I could hear him walking up from the basement, opened the door in the family room, and she was hitting those final notes. My father was holding his trumpet in one hand. He just went, Jesus, she's got talent. And I loved that.
Thank you.
and a lifetime of listening to this music was born. But you didn't reject that. You weren't like, I'm going to be different from... I mean, some, there are two kinds of kids in the world. The kids who sort of, you know, go in the direction their parents point them, and those who go in the opposite direction, but you apparently like
the
parents.
It's weird, and I sometimes wonder if maybe that's not the greatest thing in the world, but I was somebody, like, when my parents, when I grew up, and they said, oh, taking drugs is bad, I went, okay. You know, I'm half Colombian, and I never smoked... I smoked pot once, and I did it, like, 2 years ago, and I went, oh, what's the big deal?
Well,
so that's to say that I wasn't rebellious. I just wasn't. That's the way it was.
And the world's a better place for it, Mo.
Oh, good.
Because I'd hate to think if you lost somewhere, like, you know, sleeping homeless in Washington Square Park, instead of doing what you do, which is entertain us and fill us with joy week after week. How's your show coming, My Grandmother's
it's
Ravioli?
It's going well. It's going well. We're in our fourth season.
You're in your fourth season?
Yeah, and always looking for grandmothers and grandfathers out there that I can come to their homes and learn how to cook from them, but more importantly, hear their life story. And we found some great people.
It's a great show. Yeah. I really enjoy watching it. I also enjoy walking around town with you and having people come up to you, and they really just pour their love out to you for show.
That's
among other things that you do, but that show in particular seems to have plugged into something that really matters to people. They really love it.
I just
it.
Heard today that now more than half of Americans eat out rather than cook at home, which is a very sad statistic. We had crossed that line about 10 years ago where more Americans lived alone than with other people.
Mm.
And now the line, which makes sense of how people get their food, has been crossed also. So I wonder if people like watching this show where I spend time with grandparents who like to cook in their homes is aspirational.
Yeah, it's a substitute for the real thing, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I live alone and I eat out. So sorry, Mo. I must be a real disappointment to you. Let's move on to another one of the songs that you brought. This is an old favorite of yours. You sang this with me once when we sang together, and it's another Schwartz and Dietz tune. I guess Schwartz is a favorite of yours, huh?
Oh, gosh. They're just great.
But you brought Rhode Island is famous for you. And now you are famous for having like a geography fetish. Am I right?
I from an early age, I learned the capital of every country in the world.
Oklahoma.
And the capital of Oklahoma is Oklahoma City.
Arizona.
Phoenix.
New York.
Albany. But
Delaware.
I know every country in the world. Dover.
Every country in the world?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Zaire.
Well, there's no more Zaire. It's now one of the Congos, but it's Kinshasa.
You're a kook. I love it. Where do you store that stuff? I can't remember my cousin's name.
You know, I found it. Your cousin's name is Kinshasa.
That's where they ended up.
I always like learning finite lists, and
it seems a little OCD. It's like maybe it's something you hang on to keep yourself sane.
I don't know.
I memorized Poe's The Raven, for example.
Okay,
for
I never
purposes.
Did that. I memorized from an early age all the world capitals, and I have to tell you, in the late 80s when the Soviet Union fell apart, I almost had a nervous breakdown because all those new countries, all those stands were making me crazy.
Well, Rhode Island is famous for you. It's recorded by a lot of great people. Mm-hmm. Nancy Lamott is a huge favorite here at the Jonathan Channel.
Well, she's wonderful. And she sings the intro, which is a terrific.
The intro, or the verse, as it is referred to often by people in the business, is a lost art. From Inside USA by Schwartz and Dietz, Nancy Lamott.
Every state has something its Rotary Club can boast of. Some product that the state produces the most of. Rhode Island is little, but oh my, it has a product anyone would buy. Copper comes from Arizona, peaches come from Georgia, and lobsters come from Maine. The wheat fields are the sweet fields of Nebraska, and Kansas gets bonanzas from the grain. Old whiskey comes from old Kentucky. Ain't the country lucky? New Jersey gives us glue.
For you. It It's just so much fun. I'm a big proponent of civics, and I think all school children should be forced to learn this song.
Yeah, they were until recently, till Texas rewrote all the books, and now it's no longer allowed because it's the truth. Anyway, she is a lovely singer, really beautiful. And listening to her sing it brought back the performance that you did with me, and I actually think there's video of you singing it. I wonder if you wouldn't mind if I put it up on the show page.
If we can find it, I'd love that.
I think somewhere buried in a hard drive somewhere is some really charming video of you. And I think you actually did some more stuff. You played with the song a little bit, if I remember correctly.
Right, because I did some fact-checking on the song. Because the song, some of the facts are out of date. Like, copper actually comes from northern Michigan.
That's
right. Peaches come mostly from California, also from Georgia. But lobsters do come from Maine.
Right.
And Rhode Island actually has the highest rate of alcoholism in the union.
Wow. And oboists have the highest rate of suicide.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is it because of the jokes? No, then what about violists?
No. It's for oboes, it's a nightmare. A non-pareil, because they have a double reed situation. So they have to carve their own reeds every night, which is extremely delicate work. And then they have to blow really hard, which causes a lot of pressure to the brain. And then finally, they have to tune the orchestra every night. It's their job to get everybody up to the A at 440. So
well, that dumb Whiplash movie should have been made about oboists. Are nonpareils also candies?
Yes.
It's interesting.
And nonpareil is a term that I use because Tormé used it. And everything I do, I basically have been aping Tormé for the last 25 years.
Well, you're the reason I have the male Tormé syndrome.
So I also have sort of a paternal Oedipal moment because I remember, you know, I used to spend Thursday nights and weekends with my dad after my parents divorced. And my dad's a musician. And I remember I had found Ella Fitzgerald records, like, in my parents' record collection, and it opened up a door for me. You know how it is. It was one of those moments, you know, when your life changes. It was the Richard Rodgers songbook, Rodgers and Hammerstein songbook. And my dad, I remember walking me by the little cafeteria / restaurant he used to take me to, this cheap crap hole called Horn and Horn in Baltimore. And there was a record store down the hallway, and he said, well, if you like Ella Fitzgerald, I bet you'll like Mel Torme. And I had never heard my father even mention the word Ella Fitzgerald, let alone Mel Torme. You know, it never occurred to me that my dad looked beyond the classical repertoire right. where he lived, or that he would actually say anything at all. You know, my dad was a terrific guy, but he wasn't dispensing a lot of advice or pushing me in any particular direction. So I ran into the record store, and that was back in the days of vinyl, you know, where you would flip through the bin and the record cover itself would grab your attention. And there was an album called Mel Loves Fred Astaire. And since I knew who Fred Astaire was, I thought, well, I'll pick this one. And it was the beginning of a lifelong, beyond love, a virtual obsession with Tormé for me. And I feel like everything I've ever wanted to do or sing or say musically is just essentially a ripoff of Tormé, or an ode to, or a trip on Tormé, because that album blew my mind.
Very interesting.
Well, this is The Way You Look Tonight, Jerome Kern and Dorothy Fields. I mean, what are you going to do about Kern? He's the greatest of them all for many people's money. I'm not going to argue that point right now. And this, what Tormé is always doing is tweaking your expectations. You've heard the song a million times. Invariably, it's always roughly the same tempo or roughly the same mood. And then Tormé shows up, often with his great collaborator, Marty Pates, the arranger, with his 10-person horn section, which he called the Dectet. And they would rip these babies a new one. And it's always exciting to hear this song for the first time the next time. Here's Mel Tormé.
Lovely, never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Oh, but you're lovely, with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft. There is nothing for me but to love you and the way you look tonight. With each word your tenderness grows, tearing my fear apart. And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Lovely, never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it, 'cause I love you and the way you look tonight.
That was Mel Torme.
That's a blast.
That was Marty Page working together. So much information in 2.5 minutes.
Totally.
It's staggering. And you know they were at the height of their powers, and that was Herb Geller on the saxophone ripping that solo. It's insanity, the virtuosity.
And you get the sense that she really does look amazing tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still get chills when I listen to that. It just completely possesses me, and I just want to get up and run around the room. I can't stand how exciting it is to hear that and remember what it was like the first time that I heard that, with my dad sitting in his chair kind of grinning, you know, knowing that that was it. I, you know, talk about your gateway drugs. I'm still lost in this hole.
It's also very bold. I mean, it's the kind of thing, it's so different than you're used to hearing the right. song ordinarily, that it could go terribly wrong.
Well, that became his bread and butter, was to reimagine these things. And that's, he was doing like the American Idol cover versions of songs before there was ever a such a thing even imagined. And, you know, you can hear a lot of Bernstein in that chart, that that's the dance at the gym from West Side Story. All those Latin references, they're pulled right out of Bernstein. I mean, the sophistication, the sheer joy of it is overwhelming to me. I love it.
In just a moment, I challenge Mo Rocca to a Naked American cage match. I ask my guest Mo Rocca to bring in a tune from a more contemporary era, a song that isn't necessarily considered great American songbook material, but which, with enough advocacy, well might be.
I brought the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun. It's one of the, I guess, the rarer songs that George Harrison is lead on, where he's singing. And I'm not sure that it deserves to be in the canon, but to me it will always be exhilarating, because when I became one of the only two boys on the gymnastics team at Wood Acres for the spring show in front of all the school, we had to pick a song, and I picked that song, and there that like, it's all right, the first time that comes up, I did a front handspring. The second time, I did a round off back handspring with a spot, so it didn't really count. But the third time, and I was the only one in the school that could do this, an aerial cartwheel, a cartwheel with no hands. And it was just so that little da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, whoo, boom, nailed it, stuck the landing. It always, to me, will be incredibly exciting. And I ended up at college with somebody, one other person who had been at my elementary school, and she, whenever I'd see her on campus, she'd say, oh my God, you did the aerial in gymnastics.
Wow, between the roller skating and the aerial gymnastics, I guess you had quite an athletic
childhood. And Javier Ortiz and I were the only two boys on the gymnastics team. And it's terrible. I really owe him an apology, because I wanted to really be like, I wanted to break the spandex ceiling. I wanted to be the only boy on the gymnastics team. And so, and I'm not sure that I was all that nice to Javier Ortiz.
You can tell him right now, Javier.
Well, Javier, I'm sorry that at recess, when you asked me to spot you on a back handspring, I pulled my hand out at the last second.
That was a Lucy Van Pelt.
I know, and it actually helped him learn to do it better. So it backfired, and that, I deserved that, because then he could do it without a spot, because he was like, Maurice, you didn't put your hand back there.
That's what he said.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
Gorgeous. And now I and a whole bunch of listeners out there are going to spend the rest of the day picturing you. What? Backflipping?
Randolph back handspring, front handspring, and then aerial cartwheel, which is a cartwheel with no hands. And I think I ended in a backbend.
Oh, I know you ended in a backbend. You haven't come out of it since. If you'd like to hear this version of the song, I'd love for you to listen to it with me.
I'd love to.
Because this is, now I feel like a sort of a school marm with this next version, because it's not as joyful as that one. But this is the version that made me learn to love the song.
Oh.
I always found the Beatles version a little sing-songy, sort of like, remember like Judy Collins' version of Both Sides Now? It ended up sounding like a children's song, you know? flows and flows of, you know, there's nothing in it that makes you stop and think, oh, that's a remarkable tune. Then, you know, Joni herself comes back 25 years later, records with the London Symphony Orchestra, and you're like, oh my God, that's the straight up the best song ever written.
I have to say that I love when Glenn Campbell sang that song.
Really?
I love Glenn Campbell.
Yeah. I do too, but I guess I don't really. Yeah. Anyway, so this is George Benson's version.
This sounds okay.
Mo, back off.
All right.
You have to listen to my choices too.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's very moving. I think you will find it moving. I think you'll find it moving.
Okay, so this is Robert Guillaume singing.
George Benson, who is, you know, so he's to the guitar, basically, what Nat King Cole is to the piano, the greatest practitioner of his craft on an instrument, but who's better known for being a singer because he also did that remarkably well. And, you know, that's where he made his fortune. But back in the 90s, he put out a remarkable series of records. And this is, I think, a high watermark from that catalog. George Benson, Here Comes the Sun.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it seems a year since you've been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
You look like I just made you drink castor oil.
No, I would definitely use that version for my balance beam routine. That needs something that's a little more, a little slower. No, it is actually, for some reason, it was almost making me cry.
I know, it's very
really,
moving. It leaps right off the screen, does it not?
It's very beautiful.
That's Max von Sydow singing.
Max von Sydow.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm trying to pick up where you left off, a little humor.
I always confuse him with Maximilian Schell.
Well, they're easily mix-upable.
Is that true?
Sure. We'll do a little cage match on them, too, after after drinks tonight. Listen, Mo, you have been such a terrific guest. Thank you for opening up and taking off so many layers on the Naked American Songbook. I feel like we've gotten to know you through song, and that's what we're here to do.
This was a sheer joy. This was great.
Well, we're going to close the show with one of your choices, because you're the guest. You get to decide, and I have decided it's going to be Change Partners, sung by Sinatra and Joe Beam together.
It's so great.
And I sort of think that this is good for you and me. I'll be Sinatra, you be Joe Beam. This is Irving Berlin's.
All I can say is, you know, I've worked in TV for a while. You can see him do this on YouTube with Antonio Carlos Jobim from the 1967 special. And it is the definition of magnetism and sex appeal, because he just sits there singing. He's smoking. Not advisable, I realize. But the camera barely does anything. Mm-hmm. And you cannot take your eyes off of him. It is remarkable, this performance.
Must you dance every dance with the same fortunate man? You have danced with him since the music began. Won't you change partners and dance with me?
That sweet, silky, smooth sound of Sinatra and Jobim singing Berlin's Change Partners wraps up this week's episode of the Naked American Songbook. I want to thank my guest, my old friend Mo Rocca, for bringing so much good stuff to the table today. And I also want to encourage you, my rabid fans, to stay in touch via the network's social. You can tweet at Naked Songbook, check out some photos at Instagram's Naked Songbook, and you can see a link for the performance that Mo referenced from television in 1968 on our Facebook page, TNA Songbook. Next week, I'm excited to let you know, we'll bring to the microphone self-professed theater nerd and silent laugher, Rachel Dratch.
Bossy bottom.
I like a bossy bottom. Okay. All right.
Bossy bottom.
Bossy bottom.
Okay. I do remember, sidebar, we did Once Upon a Mattress in sixth grade, and I was Lady Larkin, who was in the original thing, was pregnant. But for us, they had to change all the words.
Did that work?
Well, yeah, but there was kind of no comedy left to the part, and I'm still pissed about it.
Rachel Dratch is
Bossy Bottom.
I just want to let you know that the Naked American Songbook is a production of The Jonathan Channel, WNYC, and WQXR in New York City. Aaron Dalton is our relationship expert. Ellie Smirling runs our online dating website. She needs to up her game. Rachel Neal immortalized our words on tape. Mike Shobe runs a chocolate heart factory. And Graham Parker makes sure we all play nice. Our theme music is written by me, Julian Fleischer. Thanks for listening. Stay naked.
As I put my clothes back on.
Quickly get back.